Blog Talk Radio.
With Coach Bartley. I am your host, Anthony Bartley here, and welcome to another fabulous edition of Game Time. You know, I thought about doing something a little different this week due to the recent events that, you know, may have transpired throughout the course of the weekend, and just to kind of let you know, everybody, you know, yeah, it does have me kind of heated. It's been a couple days, so I've actually had a little bit of time to cool off, but there's still some things that, one, are left unanswered. And as we start to embark in this 2009 season for both leagues, you know, I'm starting to find more and more segregation amongst the leagues, and it's got to stop. And someone has got to step up and make something happen. So if it has to be me, as I said before, I will make it happen. I've had one person, you know, kind of tell me, oh, Coach Bartley, you said you were going to be like Howard Stern, but yet you're just a big old teddy bear. Well, today I'm taking the gloves off and I'm coming out swinging, because right now, from what I've experienced, witnessed, and have been a part of this past weekend, has really got me fuming mad. So this is the side of Anthony that everybody's going to get to see. Hopefully you guys won't see this again, because I'm one. I'm not going to straddle the fence like there, you know, a lot of people out here. The whole topic for this evening is basically I need to know, and I need to get everyone's thoughts and opinions on how come women's football hasn't progressed as it should have in the recent events. And I said it's all over the internet, so I'm going to be the first, you know, I'll put it out there. And this past weekend, the California Lynx were actually fortunate enough to scrimmage, and granted it was only a third official week of practice, but we did it against my old team, the SoCal Breakers. Now, why did we do it? Well, for several reasons. One, they just so happened to be there at the field that I work out on. Two, I felt that it was an excellent opportunity to teach, you know, not only my rookies, but their rookies as well. Now, I'm one for teaching anybody, you know, whether it be men, women, you know, cats, dogs, you know, it doesn't matter. If it's, you know, for the sport, and if it's going to help put a quality product out on the field of play for the world to enjoy, I am going to share my knowledge. I don't care who it is, where they come from. But apparently, some people have a problem with it. And you know me, I'm not one to put people on blast like that, but tonight I will, i.e. the IWFL. I hate having to do this, but I'm going to do this.
Oh, Tony.
No, the whole thing is this, and as I start to get people out there to share their thoughts and feelings, you know, this level of football has been stagnant. You know, women's football has been going on off and on for years now. You know, some people take it as a joke. They look at women's football as just something that, you know, women just feel that they can, you know, just do whatever. But, you know, this is serious. You know, these women, they get out here and they work their butts off, and they're trying to do something that a lot of people, you know, can't do. Not everybody can play football. So football is one of those sports where, you know, you just have to be an athlete. You have to have the right type of mentality to play this sport. And there are some women who actually have been able to take on that persona. And for us to limit them in regards to receiving instruction, learning, the tools needed to help this sport, to help this level of football get to a higher plane, you know, I find it's ludicrous. You know, we've talked about this before on a couple of my shows, but, you know, I didn't put anyone on blast. You know, I try to keep it, you know, on an even keel, but this time I am because I don't like the way the IWFL are treating certain people, you know, when it comes to this subject matter. Now, I have on the line with me Coach Jansen from the Binghamton Tiger Cats. I hope I said that right because I swear that I feel like I'm about to bite my tongue off every time I say Binghamton. Did I say it, Coach?
You got it right, Coach.
Okay, good. Man, like you said, the word around the world, everyone knows that the Lynx had a little impromptu scrimmage with the Breakers. Now, again, if this is two ball clubs, I mean, we're only minutes apart from each other, you know, trying to help each other out. The head coach over there, he's a very dear close friend of mine. He and I have been coaching together at every level, just about the women's, semi-pro level, even in the professional level. You know, we're looking to help each other. We're trying to put out a better product. Do you see a problem with it?
You know what, Coach? I got to tell you, I don't have any problem with it. And I have coached, this is going on my 20th year, at various levels. And even at the lowest level, because I happen to be the league president for a 20-team youth league, I happen to be a team president for one of those teams. And we have, even at that level, which is a considerably lower level than we're talking about women's professional sports, than either of those, then, okay, how is it that I can do that at a youth level, but we can't do it at a level of a professional athlete? Now, I get it. I understand. You know, and if you look historically, okay, there's precedents. You got the AFL versus the NFL. You've got the USFL versus the NFL. But at the end of the day, the AFL and the NFL got it right and became the NFL. And the USFL couldn't compete. And right now, when I look at my roster is, I've got 45 players on that roster. 42 of them are rookies who have never played organized football at any level, not to say anything about this level. And, you know, from a coaching perspective, if I had the opportunity to scrimmage the Lynx, I promise you, we're there.
So,
you know, that's where I'm at with it. I don't understand it, whether there is a proper channel that needed to be gone through or whatever as far as IWFL is concerned, but it seems to me that on the surface to be just completely ludicrous.
Well, and see, here's the thing, and see, I've come from the IWFL, and I've had to endure this for many years. They have it in their bylaws where they don't have any kind of interleague play. Now, how is that going to help a team, especially if there's a team, let's say, out in the middle of BF Egypt, and they need to get better?
Welcome to Binghamton.
You know. And at the same point, what's to say, like, this has happened over years' time. You have a team in IWFL, and 10, 15 minutes away, you had a team in the NWFA. But yet, they see eye to eye. Why is that? Well, you know, I understand, you know, everyone wants to try to reign supreme over everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't follow suit here because it can't happen.
But the question there, though, is who agrees to and has the power to change those bylaws? Because if this is a thing that, again, every organization that I'm involved with at whatever level, there is a methodology for changing those bylaws. And if you can find in a bylaw somewhere something that maybe was put in for good intention, maybe was put in as a protection for the league, And you look at that thing and you say, how do we change that? Because the landscape has changed with the NWFA going away, with the WFA, in my opinion, and having been now coaching in with three different leagues, the WFA becoming the premier kind of league in its format, then you've got to be able to change, or you go the way of the XFL or the USFL. And unfortunately, that means a lot of premier athletes, and I think a lot of our athletes, when we're talking about the women athletes, are D1 athletes who are looking for, you know, the ability to go somewhere else with their talent, and a lot of times that's football. So you know, you've got to be prepared to change that up and change with the times, or you're going to find yourself left behind.
Now, here's the funny thing, you know, me being an owner, you know, I've worked at, you know, at all levels. I don't think these owners really understand the kind of power that they have. I mean, look at reality, okay? Without any owners, you don't have a league. It's just as if without any players, you don't have a team. So if you're going to walk around and say, this, you're all for the players, this is a players' league, why are you hurting and hindering and restricting your players from gaining knowledge? Because let's face it, you know, not all these coaches know everything about football. I've seen a lot of these coaches out there with these garbage systems, and, you know, they're putting out a ragtag product. You know, and I'm not going to say that I'm the best at football, but I'm damn good at it. And when I know I have to go to my mentors, you know, guys who you know who've been playing this game, you know, have been involved in this game for decades, you know, because that's where I get my tutelage from. But who are these people to restrict these athletes from gaining more knowledge, from getting exposure? This is what I am having a hard time trying to understand. And this is me being an owner. You know,
Coach, that's got to go back to one or two things. It's got to go back to either the owners not saying, hey, no, this isn't what I want for my club, and either finding a place where that doesn't apply to their club, like the WFA, or changing what exists so that they can put that on there. Because the thing of it is, right now, in Binghamton, being a new club, we're selling a product sight unseen to everybody in that community. But because women's football in upstate New York, there is nothing. It is the Binghamton Tiger Cats, so unless we're going down to New York City or we're going into Pennsylvania, there is nobody. And so we have to sell this sight unseen based on the fact that this is a quality product. And that product, if you don't have that, next year the Binghamton Tiger Cats won't have as easy a time as they're having right now. And if that's true here, I'm guessing that it's probably true elsewhere. And you end up overall lowering the quality of the product that is going to make any league successful for over the long term. By not being able to move forward, and by not only inter squad scrimmage, which it sounds like kind of where you are, I don't even know if that qualifies as a game. Inter squad, practice. You know, I can't even begin to fathom that.
Yeah, and again, we're talking about putting out a quality product here, because I mean, let's face it, unless you know. I mean, if you look at the lingerie league, I mean, they're talking about putting together a full outright league. You know, and I'm sorry, as a league representative, I would be appalled. I am appalled, because that's not real football. So you would think that some people would take that extra step to make us legitimate.
But let's assume for a minute that somewhere, somehow, there is some legitimate reason to object to an inter-squad scrimmage. on the IWFL's part. What could that possibly be?
I could tell you
and
that.
I can't begin to say, you know, it is or it isn't, but I can't get it.
I can tell you
if it's not an insurance issue or what the other thing might be.
I can tell you exactly what it is because I've spoken with an IWFL owner about 2 months ago in regards to this very topic. And one, he tried to throw the legal issue, you know. Then he said, you know, it's not good for women's football. Gee, how long have you been a football? Because in all honesty, one, if he talked insurance, well, let's see. Everybody has insurance. It's just a blanket policy. What? You know, we walk around with a $1 million, $2 million bond, you know, it's just to cover any damages and what have you. So how is that an issue? Then you want to talk about legal parameters. Where do you get this from? Because I see this happen in the men's level every year. You know, you got this league that play this league. Hell, we've had in recent years before the LCFL, which is owned by Patti LaBelle, they would play against the SWFL for a Southern California championship, and then the champion would then go up north to play one of the northern teams or Central California teams for the state championship. Now, where are there legalities involved in that? There are none. It's about
I can't find any.
There are two entities who said, you know what, forget the rankings. Let's take your champion against my champion. Put them out on the field. Then you can say who's the better team for that year.
Mm-hmm. And beyond that,
and then you gotta
find
look at
for me a more litigious bunch than a group of parents who feel that their youth, their child has been put in an unsafe situation in a football game or in any other game. I don't think that you'll find them. And then if you add to that, we're talking about adults. The litigiousness then isn't with the players. It's about the leagues. It's about what do they want to expose. And, you know, is the real risk, do I want to expose my team to a team in the other league and have that not go the way I want it? It's a bad loss. It's a whatever. And all of a sudden the question becomes, well, is it the WFA that's better than the IWFL? Is it the IWFL that's better than the WFA? And then it's not really, at the end of the day, about the legality of it at all.
Exactly. So I'm going to ask this before I say this. Do I have another caller online?
Yes. This is I'm with Eric. This is Coach Don Dunbar, also with the Binghamton Tiger Cats. I didn't know.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know Coach Jansen was going to be on as well. So
we got
double duty here.
We've got ourselves some Western New York opinions, in case you hadn't noticed, Coach.
Well, you know what? It's just one of those things, and I've tried to be professional about everything. Like I said, I've been a part of the Women's Football Camp and Conference, and you know it was a wonderful, you know it was wonderful, you know, to see, you know, teams represented from each league, you know, and out there to learn and gain knowledge. You know, that was a wonderful thing. You know, that was something that needed to be spread, you know, worldwide. And, you know, as we told the players, you know, when we finished out, go back and tell your teammates. Go back and tell people in your division. Doesn't matter what league you're in. But now we got to take it a step further. You know, what's going to hurt two teams that are 10, 15 minutes apart from each other from getting together and working out together? You know, it's gotten so bad. And you know, I'll put it like this. I'm already blacklisted for the IWFL. They can't stand me with a passion because I'm going to speak my mind. You know, that's just Anthony Bartley. But you got people who are trying to tell a bunch of other grown people what they can and can't do, who they can speak and who they can't speak to. This is getting out of hand.
It's insane. I mean, it's politics. I mean, you're trying to do what's best for the game. You're promoting the game by having a scrimmage amongst two teams that are in basically the same neighborhood. I mean, that's what you want. That's how things grow.
Can you imagine what happened? Let's say, for example, if you took the California Lynx and the California Quake, put them in one setting. Can you imagine the financial implications that can, you know, both teams can prosper from that?
Exactly. That's you promote the game by playing the game.
The game. Exactly. You know, and it's not about
not only just playing the game, but playing the game at a high level.
At a high level, and getting respect and exposure, not only to the WFA, but to the IWFL as well. It's about giving people an option instead of being under a dictatorship.
Exactly. Exactly. It becomes political.
You know, and I hate to be harsh with the word dictatorship, but that's exactly what it is. And you know, it's like I tell people, it's like living in Cuba. Living under Fidel Castro.
Yeah, everybody wants to leave and get away from it.
Exactly.
Which is not good.
So I mean,
I'll echo what Coach Jansen said earlier. Just equating it at the youth level, I'm also heavily involved in youth as well, just like Eric is. And I mean, we scrimmage other teams. We go into another state for scrimmages. Totally different leagues. I mean, it's done all over the high school level. You scrimmage teams from other sections, teams you'll probably never play, even in playoffs. I mean, it's common. It's common all around. It's not a big deal. And that's how you build relationships.
Exactly. You know, I'm telling you, it'll go a long way on both ends of the spectrum to see, you know, the two entities, you know, hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. You know, Damn, Coach, I got to tell you.
For a second, man. Damn, hold up. Well, let me get to Rodney King. Can't we all just get along?
Well, I got to tell you, though, the reality of the matter is, every time I associate myself with top-notch coaches, my ability to coach gets better. And that's just the reality. I think that's the same thing for players. And so when you look at what are we doing for women's football, what's the quality of our coaching staffs? I got to tell you, I'm not Mike Shanahan. I'm not Ken Wisenhunt. I'm not Mike Tomlin. If I had a chance for my players to associate with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Arizona Cardinals, because even if I'm not having a scrimmage, because they're going to get something out of that, do you think I would be there in a heartbeat? And I don't think that that's a substantially different issue than, you know, Lynx having an inter-squad scrimmage. It's the same story at the end of the day because, you know, the coach over there has got this that he does this way or that way. He's got a drill. I mean, look at the reality of the matter is every one of us has got a little bit of something we do a little differently, and it ultimately improves what we can do as coaches, which ultimately improves the players and the quality of what they bring to the table and promotes women's football.
Exactly. You know, and I can say personally, because I feel honored to see, to hear, and know that I got spies, you know, people out there camped out in whatever crack corner or crevice looking to see what I got on my football field. You know, and when it goes to that extreme, it's like, come on, let's be real here. You know, it's about, you know, again, I don't care what team you come from, what league you come from. If you want to play football, if you want to learn more about football, I'm going to teach it.
Right.
You know, now will I give you all my little my trade secrets? No, not really.
Not until after we beat you, right?
What's that?
Not until after we beat you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. My buddy, he goes, well, Coach, you going to give me a copy of your playbook? No, not really. I'll get some bits and pieces. But see, he knows I've got about 6 or 7 different playbooks in my head. Hey, when we got, you know, I'll put it like this. When we got together, you know, this past weekend, I whipped out something on him he never saw from me, which threw everybody off because no one knew no one knows what to expect from me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good. You know, the reality there, though, is you're only going to get away with it once if the coach on the other side is any good.
Exactly.
Because he's going to go back to the drawing board and say, oh, boy, that was good. Let me take that. Let me defend that, whatever, because I know that our offensive coordinator, our defensive coordinator, if they've seen something when we play the Lynx or whatever the case is, that the next time that happens when we see you in the playoffs, that won't work. Because we'll have prepared there, and that, again, that improves the game, that improves what it is, because it's changed what we're teaching in practice.
Yeah,
exactly. You might get us on something else, but you won't get us on, you know, what we saw, because we're going to learn from it, and we're going to teach our players what, you know, what to look for. That's how, you know, that's how the game grows, in my opinion.
Exactly, and it's got to be this way, you know, and in order, you know, for us to get the large sponsorships, you know, because like, so there are people out there with deep pockets, you know, with some very deep pockets, but they will not touch women's football until they see some continuity.
Right, well, nobody wants to get involved in, you know, something where there's animosity amongst teams and leagues and, you know, the outside world, it's women's football. I mean, I don't think anybody cares what league this team's coming from or that one. It's women's football. And then if, you know, each team in each league's different leagues are bashing each other, you know, it affects everybody negatively. It affects everyone.
I'm going to tell you, because I've also heard this, well, you know, we just want to have fun. You know, no, we're not interested in, you know, we just want to be, we're happy with where we are. Now, if I like I said, the program that this person is coming from is ragtag, because I teach my players not to settle for mediocrity.
Right.
You step on my field, you're coming to win. You're going to have fun winning. Hell, you're going to have fun even if you lose a game. Because, you know, especially if it's a good game and it's a close, you know, hey, it's going back and forth, you know, and, you know, those are the fun games. You know, it's not fun when you go and you get blown out 69-3.
No, not at all. Not at all.
That is no fun.
So, you know, the settling for mediocrity, no. If you want to do that, go play flag football somewhere. You know, this sport is not geared to not only just have fun, but it's geared to winning. It's geared to getting exposure. You know, it's geared to, you know, hopefully one day these women can get this a profession, a job, like we do. You know, like the WNBA does. You know, it's got to get to that point somehow, some way. You know, but don't.
You're right. It can, but it's got to be a unified effort.
Yeah, you can't straddle the fence. And in one hand, you say you're promoting women's football, and in the other hand, you're gonna restrict your people. It, you're contradicting yourself.
Exactly.
Or if you're gonna restrict people, then you need to be willing to come to the table and say, hey, how do we fix that? Okay, yes, we restricted this time, but that should never happen again, because whatever owner needs to step up and say, hey, listen, I want the best product, because it's it's my town, it's my neighborhood, it's my whatever that I'm representing when I put on this uniform, when I put on this helmet, and I don't want mediocrity. I don't want crap coming out there on the field. I want a quality product that's going to put butts in the seats, that's going to represent and get that accomplished. And you're not going to get that. So at an owner's level, you've got to be able to say to the league, hey, listen, this can't continue. How do we fix this? How do we not sit down and talk and put these two things together?
Well, the problem, you got some owners who are scared. Scared of what? I don't know. I wish I had an answer for it. If I can get some other owners out there, you know, hopefully that are listening to speak up. You know, I feel like I'm the only one who's willing to step out and say, hey, this is not right. You know, eventually somebody's got to stand up and say, hey, it's not right.
You're right.
Coach Dunbar and I are on this ownership group with Coach Evans for the Tiger Cats. And I got to tell you, and I'm sure, Coach Bartley, you know, that there are so many things to think about and things to go forward with when you're launching a team and you're running a team. If I could get inside the head of an owner of a successful franchise, of a coach of a successful franchise, I'm going to pattern what I do with the Tiger Cats after that.
Exactly.
Because it works. I mean, it's the beauty of the deal. You look around the area, and you can, in either league, you can point to and say, wow, that's a franchise that's got it together.
That's right.
And I don't care if they're in the IWFL or the WFA or where they are. If I can put my players in contact with that, if I can put my coaching staff in contact with that, if I can put my ownership in contact with that kind of a situation, I am stupid not to do it.
Exactly.
Right, you have to do it. If you want to be successful, you have to do it.
And it all boils down to, and this is where people are going to, again, and I hope a lot of people are sitting here listening to this, wake up. The coffee is brewing. The coffee pot is hot, and the coffee does smell good. So wake up. I mean, damn. We as owners have power. We as owners can make changes for the good of women's football. If you're trying to make this, you know, a household name, if you're trying to make your team a household name, if you're trying to get these women some exposure, wake up. Because it's ridiculous for everyone to be hiding under rocks, you know, got the blankets over their heads, worried about, oh, the league is going to come down on me if I say something. Wake up.
Yeah.
There's strength in numbers.
Exactly.
You know,
I would hope the other owners would support, you know, the team you scrimmaged, the coach and everything. If the rest of the league banded together and said, hey, this guy didn't do anything wrong, we want to do some of the same things. We want to scrimmage somebody from another league who's maybe 45 minutes away instead of 4 hours, you know? What's wrong with that?
Yeah. I mean, and think of – and as all these owners need to look at on an economic standpoint. We're in a recession now. Come on. Do you really want to drive 4 or 5 hours away just to do a scrimmage?
I got to tell you, I know for a fact that the Tiger Cats are working on a scrimmage, an inter-squad scrimmage, with two WFA teams over the next couple, 3 weeks. That's not a big deal. It's not between leagues. But in addition to that, working on a scrimmage with a Division I college that wants to come and scrimmage for those same kinds of reasons. Okay, you know what?
I'm going to be going up against some dudes.
No, that's not even Division I, man. That's Division VIII.
Oh. But even
not
still,
a Bills
though,
fan, sorry.
it, it, Hey, but even still, though, is getting these girls some exposure, some, you know, around different entities. You know, it's good for the product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this cannot, and I hope people are listening to this, because I really do want them to understand, this is not a one-man show. You know, this has to be a collective effort between every single owner, every coach, and every player at this level of football. It has to be a collective effort, which means, again, people need to wake up and see there are bigger and better opportunities awaiting us.
You know, the hope has got to be that whoever's making decisions at whatever league, at whatever level, that they are not arrogant enough to not take a look at the way this came down, the fact that we're spending 45 minutes on a radio show broadcast across the world on the World Wide Web talking about this issue, and not take a look and say, dang, we messed up. We need to take a look at how come is this, and how come we have now allowed this negative decision to cast this kind of light on women's pro sports and women's pro football in particular.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, football, it has to be, football is a family. Football has to be a football family. When we're on the field playing against each other, we're competitive as heck. But after that, we're a family. We're in it for the same reasons. And in the male football world, you know, that's pretty much how things work. Some of the best times I've had, we run a camp, and we have kids from 25 different school districts come to our camp. They're, a lot of the kids we're going to compete against. But guess what? My kids get to know somebody else's kids, and in 6-7 weeks down the road, we're going to play each other. And they still remember those kids they met at camp, and that's how the game grows. It's a family. And as long as there's this drama going on in women's football, it's never going to get to where it should go.
Yeah,
you know, it's just not. It's got to go away.
We've got to get to a higher plane. You know, like I said, I enjoyed my scrimmage. I know the Breakers enjoyed it. You know, these girls got to really learn some football. Especially
enough
said.
That's what it's about. And you know, it's the bottom line.
Itself. You know,
here in a couple of weeks, when we get a chance to scrimmage against the Titans. Coach Dunbar and I both coached the Titans last year, and there are players down there that, you know, we love those guys. We love those players. They put their hearts and their souls on there, and we did likewise. And you know what? It is going to be super to see those folks, to see how they've grown, to see how they've changed in the last year. And at that scrimmage, it's going to be a lot of fun. But then when we get to play them on April 18th, we're going to all put on our chin straps, strap it up, and we're going to go out there and knock heads together for 60 minutes.
There you go.
And then we're all done. We're going to go have a beer.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to go break bread together and renew friendships. And
that's right.
That's what the game's about. That's what the great thing about football is. It brings great people together. And, you know, somehow
when I look at my Facebook account and I see so many of those Titans on there, girls that I had, you know, the opportunity to get to know and to coach and to break, you know, to cry, to sweat, to laugh with, those are things you can't replace, and those are the kinds of relationships that need to be built across this bridge between the IWFL and the WFA. It's got to be fixed, because those are the kinds of things that put this sport at the forefront.
That's right.
It's what makes it different than any other sport.
That's right. See, I wish I wasn't so much of an enigma to the IWFL, you know. But, again, Anthony is going to be Anthony. Anthony's going to speak his mind. And if there's a problem, well, you know what? Too bad, because, you know, life is too short. Life is just way too short to be sitting back, holding grudges, and, you know, keep and not learning. every day is supposed to be a experience. You know, I don't care how many degrees a person has, they're still going to learn something every day.
Definitely.
And I'm not going to limit any player step field. You know, I mean, I'll put you like this. Hey, when I coached high school football a couple years ago, I not only took my players to the side, but I took the other players from the other team aside. And I said, look, I had to give them some pointers, just a little bit of stuff that's going to help them move on, you know, for their next game so they can play better. You know, I did that when I lived up in Ventura County. You know, I coached at Channel Islands High School, but I coached Kerry Colbert, and he went to Wainimi High School, Tyler Ebell, who went to Ventura High School, Lorenzo Booker, who went to St. Bonaventure. What happened to all those guys? All of them went pro. Did their coaches have a problem with me teaching these guys, you know, a little something? Not at all. Why? Because it helped them advance to the next level. This is what these girls need. I mean, basically, when you get these players out on the field, they're like sponges, man. They're willing to soak up any and every piece of information that you give them. But
exactly. You're putting the players and the game first, and that's what you should do. And people have a problem with it, hey, too bad.
Now, before I move
on,
do I have any other callers online? Okay, I guess not. Maybe they're just listening in. Who knows? So, yeah, like I said, this has been an ongoing battle. You know, I've actually had one person say, "Oh, well, you should just leave it alone. Just concentrate on your league, and I'll concentrate on mine." Sorry, that's not going to happen.
But if you leave it alone, it's not going to change. That's the reality.
Yeah, it's right in your own backyard, so it's staring at you every day.
Exactly. And you see, the person who said that, he's only a couple minutes away from me. And he and I go back and forth all the time because I'm one to share my feelings. And I believe in what's right, and I'm going to fight for what's right. So, for me to just drop it and just leave it alone, and nah, not me. Somebody's got to say something. And I'm hoping that it will cause a ripple effect to where everyone else will start saying something too, instead of being scared and hiding behind that little rock or underneath that rock.
And maybe it's a little bit of you know, the WFA is the upstart league. They're the whatever. You know, IWFL, we've been around a while, so, you know, they ought to come to us. And, you know, but that's not the case, because I got to tell you, there wouldn't be more than one league if there weren't people with different ideas that didn't fit, and there wasn't some reason to move that. Because if the rules that govern any league aren't willing to change, then the league's going to die. And I think that's proven time and again, and I think one of the things that is a strength, call us an upstart league or however you want to call us, is a willingness to say, let's take a chunk of what's the best here and a chunk of what's the best there, and let's put the people who are on the ground running these clubs in charge.
Mm-hmm. So now let me ask you this question: How do you call yourself? You know, the Premier League. You know, you've been around for all this time, and yet nobody knows about you.
that's a good question that doesn't have a good answer.
I mean, seriously though, you know, again, if If I'm going to be the Premier League, I'm going to make sure everyone knows about me. Just like Anthony Bartley. Oh, everybody knows about Anthony Bartley because Anthony Bartley is what he's gonna tell it like it is. If you don't like, oh well, you know, people know Anthony. They say Anthony Bartley is conceited. No, I'm just very confident. You know, but you know about me. So how is that you can be around all this time and nobody knows about you? But yet, you know, teams get some sort of publicity because they have to go out and do it themselves. You know, which it really shouldn't have to be that way.
No, if you're good, you usually don't have to say anything.
In most cases.
Yeah, you don't have to tell a lot of people.
Yeah, nobody knows about you. It's just like, for example, at one point when we did have, three leagues, when we had the WPFL and the NWFA and the IWFL, I mean, you got all these leagues fighting for supremacy. You know, you get a news article here and there, you get a magazine spread here and there. But what have you really done to get your product out there for the world to see? You know, I've seen these so-called television deals pop up, and not one game been televised. I've seen the only teams that I've seen that I know of that have done something on a mainstream level was the Pittsburgh Passion, but they paid out of their own pocket. And I did some research, and I mean, shoot, $15,000 to buy airtime on Fox Sports. I mean, regional station, but you know, hey, $15,000, then you spend another $5,000 for production. That's about $20,000. You know, Fox Sports can touch every region if you do it on the right note. So why haven't anyone been truly publicized? You know, it doesn't make any sense. I've gone and done further research. It doesn't take much for, let's say, some advertisement done on some of the mainstream cable companies like Cox or Adelphia, Time Warner. You know, something that's going to put it out there for the consumer. Why hasn't that been done?
Yeah, I think part of that reason, though, coaches, that when you're talking about, okay, it's the WPFL, it's the NWFA, it's the IWFL, are we spending too much time arguing amongst ourselves and not pooling our resources and not tapping Fox Sports and not using our connections? I mean, we have the opportunity where we've got a couple of ex-NFL players coaching for the Tiger Cats, and that's a super situation in as much as they just know people,
and
if that's true in a situation like we're in, then I can't imagine that it's not true across an entire nation with the 70 or 80 or 90 teams that those leagues all represent, that there aren't similar kinds of connections that we couldn't make that kind of deal if there was a singular voice.
Now, I'm going to tell you, now this is me doing my research and, you know, just talking with other people. Now, I'll take a good example. Fox Sports West, $15,000 for airtime. You know, you figure about another $5,000-$6,000 for promotion. So you come out the pocket about $20,000, okay? Now, if you get good viewership, do you know what happens? They'll
the number goes down because you just sold sponsorship.
You just sold sponsorship. You just sold advertising, which means they will pay you to air your game.
Exactly.
And then they collect the proceeds from the sponsorship, providing the viewership is good. So, again, a little sacrifice You know, do what you have to do to get your team, your league, some exposure. Because it will all benefit in the end. But nobody knows about it. I mean, it's a damn shame. I still get players who, you know, wow, I never knew there was women's football. And after 7-8 years, man, everybody should have known by now.
You think?
I mean,
you know, I happen to be married to a player, and it's, you know, she's saying, you know, I'm going to play maybe one more, maybe two more years, and then I'm done. What I want my legacy to be in this is, I was there, like when the WNBA was getting started, and they weren't getting any recognition. Then all of a sudden, they affiliated with the NBA, and it took off. And all of a sudden, it started to have name recognition. And she can see a day where women's football does exactly the same thing. And so, you know, you want to be able to look at that and say, who were the founders? Who were the people that were on those early teams?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where she sees, you know, kind of her role and to be as an ambassador for the sport itself.
Exactly. Hey, it's just like the guys back with the leather helmet. You know, half their teeth missing, nose crooked, you know, permanent black eyes. You know, those are the ones that are in the Hall of Fame. Those are the ones, you know, that didn't make the millions of dollars. They were making maybe $50-$60 a game.
Right,
you know?
They paved the way for the players today that have, you know, guaranteed contracts and pensions.
Exactly.
They didn't have any of that. They worked in the off season.
But at this rate, you know, when you got such restrictions, women's football will never get up to that point. You know, I look at teams like the New York Sharks, you know, what they got their jersey in the Football Hall of Fame or something like that, you know, or something to that effect. I mean, come on now. Why should it just be one team? You know, they got a great on that with that program. You know, that's that publicist doing a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But why how come it's not the league? Oh no, the league is just happy to put it up on their website, you know, to make it look like they have something to do with it. But that's not the case. So why not take that same effort and get the league involved in something like that? So would everybody get some name recognition?
I gotta say that I think that's the push that the WFA has. There's more that's happened in the WFA as far as from a league-wide prospect of support than I had the opportunity to experience it with either of the other clubs in different leagues that I've coached with. It really felt like, in either of the two other leagues, that you were alone, and that whatever I was doing as a member of the Titans or whatever I was doing with other teams that I was a part of, that it felt like you're alone. And I don't get that sense. I, you know, when you look at the various deals that are coming out, the Internet TV deal that is a league set up, the Adidas deal, some of the things that the WFA has done, those are the beginnings of exactly what you're talking about in making this a nationally recognized program.
And it's got to be done that way, you know. I look at for example, I had a regional meeting last week with all the owners in my division, and you know what. Because we're looking at trying to support one another. You know, we're trying to create a sense of family here. So we decided, you know, each home team will put the visiting team up, and you know, for their hotel stay. You know, again, this is, you know, us working together, not against each other. You know, this is no individual thing anymore. because we have to work, we have to survive. You know, we have to push, we have to promote each other in order for this level of football to get better, bigger, better, stronger, and faster. So, I mean, that right there is, and I commend Brian Sewell from the Phoenix Prowlers with the idea, because it is a good idea. You know, it'd be nice to be able to walk into, you know, walk to a hotel not knowing that you don't have to pay for it, you know, because your home team has got it covered for you. You know, makes you feel kind of special. You know, and some of us who play D1, you know, in Division One or Pro Ball, you know, you get off that bus and you go to the hotel room, you know, it's already covered, you know.
It's part of being professional.
What's that?
It's part of being professional.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, this is what these girls need. I mean, we're talking about mothers, wives, you know, sisters. You know, these are women who work, you know, 9-to-5 jobs, you know, plus take care of family. I mean, why not treat them like a professional? You know, and it's just sad to see, you know, these women be restricted. Bad enough they pay to play. You know, that's the big thing. They pay to play, and you're still putting restrictions on them.
Right.
That's just wrong on so many different levels. You know, and again, it's the same kind of situation. If you're a player and you're paying to play, the expectation comes that the coaches are going to let you play. And I think that if I'm paying a league, then there should be some expectation that the league is going to put me in a place or in a position or not restrict me from being in a position to have the best product.
Exactly.
And so that there's got to be, at some point, there's got to be somebody who's going to step back and say, okay, this looks bad on so many levels. A, was it really bad? And if it was, let's take a look at how we fix that. Or if it's not really bad but not really good, then how do we make it better?
Exactly.
How do we stop and take a look at this and make this better? Because it shouldn't be this way that we're going to spend an hour on a radio show talking about why is this?
Yeah, so,
you know,
again,
it should be a conversation about the links. And SoCal got together and had a scrimmage, and it was attended by media, and look at the athletes that were out there.
There
That's
you
what
go.
The conversation ought to be.
Right.
Hey, there you
right.
go. You hit the nail right there. there it is, right there. Wow, that was refreshing. I feel like a load has been lifted off my chest now. I've been like I said, I've been holding this back for so long, you know, and I've just been, you know, real, you know, cool about it. But when I have to sit here and watch, you know, a real close friend of mine get hammered and persecuted, nailed to the cross like he was Jesus Christ himself, all because he wants to, you know, prepare his team and get them better, I take it personal. I don't like it at all.
It's wrong. It's just wrong. You guys are doing what's best for your teams. There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
And I got to tell you, presented with the same opportunity you had, there would be zero chance that we wouldn't have taken the same opportunity.
Exactly. We would jump at
any good coach wouldn't turn down an opportunity such as that. Hell, if I had a man on my pro team out there, you think I wouldn't scrimmage them?
There you go. Sometimes, coach, it is just easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission.
Exactly.
There you okay?
You know, and that's the way, you know, I look at things. Is I'm going to go forward, and if my head coach doesn't like the way I'm coaching, I promise you, he's going to tell me. And if I'm going to do something that the league doesn't like, I get the parameters, I know there are rules, and I will function within those. But I promise you that if I'm doing something Jeff doesn't like me doing, I will hear from him. But meanwhile, I'm going to be an ambassador for this sport and for the WFA and for the Tiger Cats to promote this sport.
Exactly.
There you go.
Have to. That's part of your responsibility as a coach and owner. You have to do it.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to see. Do I have any other callers online? Or is everyone still kind of hush-hush? I mean, if so, that's okay. I mean, I hope people are out here listening. I hope people really take this seriously, and I hope people, really make the right move. Again, if you want a better product, don't settle for the restriction. Do not sit here and allow this to continue on. Get your girls out there. Get them some exposure. If they have to get some a good workout against a neighboring team in another, so what, they're in another league. Let them get the work in because it's very much needed. This is long overdue. And, I'd like to thank the representation I have from the Tiger Cats. I mean, the Tiger Cats, they represent numbers. And I expect to see you guys in the championship game on the other side of the field because I plan on being there.
I'd love to be there.
Oh, that's the goal. We'll let you come over to upstate New York. We'll take you out. Not a problem. we'll have ourselves a football game.
Hey, you know what? We can make sure it's an East Coast, West Coast thing like Tupac and Biggie.
All right.
Exactly.
Well,
But again, that's what it's all about, and it is about. Look, if it doesn't work right, we've got to sit down and figure out why is it. Whether that's on the WFA side, which I don't see an issue as far as this league is concerned, or if it's on the IWFL side, we owe it to the girls that are on these teams to fix this so that it doesn't happen again, and we are properly promoting the sport.
Now, let me ask you guys this question, because maybe this is just, an ego thing for me. Because, see, I'm one of those guys, if I'm going to claim to be the best, I have to beat the best. And I'm one of those guys who I will challenge anyone and make sure I beat everyone so I can truly say that I am the best, and how do you give a team a title of world champion when you got another team in the same level who's also a champion?
Sounds like the BCS.
Yes.
Shoot, if you ask me, it sounds like boxing. Think about it. In boxing, you got the WBA, WBC, IBF. Then you got the AFB, the ABCD, the EFG and H.
50 different ranking services.
And all this for one weight class.
Yep.
How do you call yourself world champ and even to top it off, you haven't seen anyone across the ocean yet.
Right.
Now it's a little different in the NFL and in the NBA because, hey, everybody wants to come to the NBA, everybody wants to come to the NFL. However, you got professional football over in Europe. I know because I played it. You got women's leagues over in Europe that are growing strong. And I can tell you right now, over in Europe, they don't have any restrictions to their women. If you're going to be the best, you got to be. So
it only makes sense. It makes sense.
How is it that we can't have that here? See, what I would love to see is you take the WFA champion, which would be me, for 2009. IWFL champion. You put us head to head. And then you take that champion, which would be me, naturally, and against a team from overseas.
See, now I'm figuring out exactly what it is the IWFL doesn't like about you. Coach, this is what it is. You haven't got your story straight. Because that champion's coming from Western New York.
I may give it to you in 2015.
Oh, no, you're hurt.
Give it.
But, see, you know, I kind of have this thing where, you know, California reigns supreme overall. You know, California is the football capital of the world. Hey, let it know. This is California love, baby. And
I'm thinking Sunday there are a couple of NFL teams that would argue with you.
You guys don't even stay for the whole game. You're on the freeway after halftime.
When you think about it, wouldn't that be great to see the two line, you know, and whoever reigns supreme over, you know, for that year will be able to actually go out and say, hey, I'm going to play for a world championship. Or better yet, take the two leagues, and then you take the best athletes from each one and put them together and compete for a world championship.
Yep.
Make an all-star team. You know, how sweet would that be? What is that going to say for women's football? You know, because I look at it, and that I know for a fact that will speak volumes. I mean, people will look at that and say, hey, you know what? This is a legitimate sport. You know, they may be able to include this in the Olympics someday. Who knows?
You can never say never. You don't know. It's
never
out there.
Say never.
It's out there.
I'm still waiting for them to include men's football in the Olympics. And you know what? With them having the World Cup now for American football, it may happen.
That's a step.
More and more countries pop up. I mean, just for the last 12 years, you know, it's been, you know, the other countries, Germany, Japan, China, Australia, the UK, Finland, you know, places like that, Spain, you know, they have American football. They play American football. Just this last year, you know, we had an American team get in it. You know, naturally we blew everyone out the water, but it was great to finally see an American team in there. But
well, you know, it's not a big stretch to see this to be in an international kind of a situation, women's football. I mean, if you think about California, and this, you know, there's clearly a strong showing in California of quality athletes. You know, Mexico's right there.
That's right.
You know, and Southern California's got a very strong showing, and so it's not a huge question as to whether or not there are going to be connections in Mexico. That's the same kind of story with New York. You know, we're not far from Canada.
That's right.
You know, it's really legitimately from where we are, not more than, you know, 3-4 hours, and we're into Toronto.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, it's a situation where the international market could be very real in both of those kinds of situations.
So now the question is, you know, are people going to wake up so we can take it, you know, start to really tap into this and take full advantage of it? Because, you know, again, let's face it, you know, this is something that's going to really benefit these women, especially the little girls that are coming up. I have an 11-year-old. I would love for her to get out there and play football. You know, unfortunately, she's so girly and pathetic, but, you know, I'm really trying to get her to play football. But, I mean, just for the other little girls that are coming up, you know, my oldest son, when he first started playing football, they had a little girl playing quarterback on his team.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to imagine. Then you got, you know, players like Nikki Johnson who out there in Vegas who are, you know, who's working for the NFL, you know, trying to get flag football into the high school. You know, kind of laid the groundwork. I mean, it's almost as if we started from the top and we're working our way down. We can still lay down a foundation and get and make a solid infrastructure if people would, you know, get over this whole dictatorship thing and just get along, you know?
You know, but, you know, Coach, the reality of the matter is people are ruled because they consent to do so, and they either consent to do it by not saying anything or by agreeing with what the rules are. And I think and until and unless whoever is making those decisions, the people who they're making those decisions for, say, no, no more, I'm not doing that, I'm doing whatever, until and unless that happens, this is not going to change. It just isn't. And I think that what you end up seeing is, okay, you're not going to change. I'm going to go someplace where I have some impact, where I have some voice.
Exactly. I mean, the thing we have going, if we make it the best it can be, we're not going to have to do anything. People are going to come over. I mean, one league has already gone by the wayside because of that. And, you know, if you don't change for the better, sooner or later, you know, you're going to feel the impact of, you know, not wanting to break out of the box and think outside the box.
Yeah, you know what, you're absolutely right about that. I just wasn't going to say that just yet, but eventually that's what it's going to come down to.
Reality. And then the people that want to stay in the box will be faced with not having any choices, and they'll be forced to make a decision one way or the other.
And it is the same thing. It is every single situation that you can think of, whatever industry, has been exactly the same. You know, why do we have VHS VCRs? Because Sony refused to release their patent on Beta, which was a better product, but nobody else could build it. And it's the same thing with women's football. The difference here is the better product, in my mind, has said, come on, come one, come all, let's grow this thing to a level that it has never been. While on the other end of it, you've got somebody else saying, no, you're going to do this my way, and if you choose not to do this my way, I'm going to fine you.
Oh, yeah, heavy fine. Oh, man. You know, these fines are so astronomical. I'll put it to you like this. You can actually go out and, I mean, you put a considerable down payment on a brand-new car. These fines are so astronomical. I mean, it's ridiculous.
For what? How does that help anybody?
And how does it help anyone? Especially
how does that
when help you me? Make budget.
Right.
But I'll tell you what else it hurts. Let's talk about that athlete that's out there who's saying, man, I'd really like to play football, but, man, that looks like drama.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like craziness. Why would I do that? Why would I put myself in a place where people are arguing all the time, or where there is this much animosity, and it's not fun? It's not fun because I got to tell you, I haven't met a whole lot of athletes at any level who think going out and doing push-ups and running buffaloes and doing drills is a whole lot of fun. There are a few that are crazy that think that's a lot of fun. But by and large, they consider it to be necessary evil to get to the fun, which is strapping that helmet on Saturday or Sunday.
That's right.
And if I'm an athlete and I'm on the fence and I can't see past what's not fun and all the drama that's going on, I've now decided not to do that. That for us, and I use us as a global term, IWFL, WFA together, when we lose one athlete, because she looks at what's going on and says, that's nuts, and goes the other direction, we've just lost a piece of what could make this program that much better.
Exactly.
You guys there? Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yep, this is Rami from Sports Geeks.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going tonight?
15 minutes.
It's going well. Going very well.
You know, I can see I know, that's kind of late.
I can't text him.
BJ, we can hear you.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Oh, crap. Okay. You have 15 minutes, Coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
But after talking to a few owners this past week, I can see the understanding of what's going on between this, between stuff that's going on, right? Are y'all talking about the two leagues? Is that what you're talking about right now?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And some of these owners are not really into that kind of stuff. They're not really thinking about it. They just want to push the women's professional football to get the bigger crowd. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, in all actuality, what's it going to take to get bigger crowds? What's it going to take? Well, you know, as I mentioned before, you got to put out a quality product. What better way to put out a quality product than to surround yourself with people who are going to help you put out a quality product? You know, like I said, the biggest fuss was, you know, again, the scrimmage between the California Link and the SoCal Breakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I happen to be, you know, very good friends of the head coach over there. You know, Breakers was being my former team. And, you know, it was a learning experience. His girls needed to get broken in, you know, to, you know, what football is about. You know, same with my rookies. They needed to get broken in.
Yep.
But they all walked away with knowledge. You know, way more knowledge than they had when they came into it.
And hands-on knowledge, that's what basically it boils down to.
Exactly.
You know,
hands-on,
you know, they actually got to block, pass, punt, do all the stuff like they do in the pros. And that's what everybody's looking forward to.
So
yeah,
why
the reality of the matter is, everyone who has ever coached a team at any level, I want to run on the field with a team to 50,000 screaming Tiger Cat fans.
There you go.
That's what I want to do. All right.
And the
only way we're going to get that is to move past the I can see as far as my door mentality.
Right.
Exactly. You know, like I said, as owners, everybody wants to, you know, try to fill the stands with butts in the seats. You know, same here. But if, see, again, and I'll give you a good example. I went into last year when I was the head coach of the Breakers. I went into last season without even having a scrimmage, which means my rookies were not battle-tested until game one. Now, could I have had a scrimmage? Yeah, I probably could have, but it would have took me a four-hour trip to Vegas when Deion Lee put on his first annual River City Bowl. And he had a bunch, five other teams there. Financially, we wasn't equipped for that. Then I had an offer to scrimmage against the Quake, but the head coach over there, Josh Penn, wanted to do special teams in a scrimmage. And I said, no, you don't do special teams in a scrimmage.
Right. Right.
And he
right.
Well, only way I'll hold a scrimmage is if we do special teams. So I said, well, you know what? I guess we won't be doing a scrimmage then. You know, in all my years of football, like I said, I've been a varsity head football coach. I've coached in the professional indoor level. Been here at the women's level, and I coached in the semi-pro level. I have yet to ever ran a special teams in a scrimmage.
Yeah, I've got to say the same thing, Coach. And last year, when Coach Dunbar and I were with the Titans, we went into that season without ever having had a scrimmage. And I remember the first day that we actually got on a regulation football field, because we've been practicing in a park, and several of the players saying, oh, my God, this is a lot wider than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every single one of the coaches knows that a football field is 53 and a third yards wide.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of it is, when you don't put your players in a game-like situation like you would have in a scrimmage, you get those kinds of things that you've just lost a ball game because the mindset just got blown away, and that's the benefit of being able to have somebody else in a different color jersey across from you.
Right.
Exactly.
That you get some of those things, and you've got players that, seen this before. And now they can do the things that their God-given talent allows them to do.
That's right. See,
and there's a comfort zone in practice. I mean, if you have a group of linemen, you only have so many linemen, line ladies, and they battle each other every practice, and they get used to each other's tendencies, you know, and you go face somebody else, you know, they may show you some technique you've never seen before, and you learn from it. And
exactly.
And that's what we're all about. And you have to scrimmage. You have to scrimmage. That's just always been my belief. And you're just never comfortable as a coach. You can't evaluate your players as well without a scrimmage. And you just need to do it. I mean, that's why the rest of the world does it.
And you also got to look at it like this. You know, sometimes coaches may not want to scrimmage someone in their division.
Okay. I can see that.
You know,
if I've got two leagues to choose from, I think I've got other options.
Right.
Yeah, coaches want to have options. You know, again, you don't want to limit your personnel to just, you know, apples when you got apples and oranges and bananas and grapes and strawberries and cherries. I mean, you have that option. You know, that's the only way you're going to get better as a coach. That's the only way your players are going to get better as athletes.
And like you said, you alluded to your rookies. I mean, we have 99% of our team is rookies this year. They've never been on a field. I mean, they're going to have a deer in the headlights look the opening kickoff and the first few plays if we don't find a scrimmage somewhere and get them, you know, over that hump. It's a learning curve.
So again, what it all boils down to, if you got a team that's 5 minutes away from you, who are in the same position, who are looking to get better, to get smarter, why would you want to hold them back? As only in both leagues, you should not want to be put under a microscope. You should not allow it. You should be put behind the yellow tape as if you're watching the police conduct a crime scene.
You know, Coach, frankly, it begs the question as to who's got an axe to grind.
Exactly.
Who benefits? Somebody benefits, or it wouldn't be an issue, by restricting the scrimmages and by restricting inter-squad play. Somebody benefits. So, you know, follow who that is, and you also find out why that rule is there and why it's enforced in the way that it is, that seems to be contrary to anything that would be supportive of women's professional football.
Exactly. So it's a lot. This is going to be one of those topics where, you know, it's going to be an ongoing issue until everybody, you know, really wakes up and say, hey, look, it's time for a change. We got a black man sitting in the White House right now. You know, it's time for a change.
There you go.
Have to move forward, progress.
Got to move forward. Yeah, got to progress. You know,
so,
otherwise,
you know,
we'll still be in the same stagnant state, and eventually it's going to get stale and it's going to play out, and then there won't be any more.
Right. You lose good people that way. If people want to progress and they're being held back and told they can't, you know, you lose good people that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the excitement that I have witnessed over the last 2 years in New Jersey and this year in Binghamton, that is contagious. That is the thing that is going to make women's professional football the kind of sport that you will take your family to see, that's going to put butts in the seats. But if we don't treat it right, if we don't grow it, it's going to go away as quickly as it has come.
Exactly.
Point very well made. Point very well made. Well, I must say, gentlemen, This is, first of all, it's been an honor to actually be able to sit here and chat with you guys. I feel great knowing that I've actually been able to vent, so to speak, express my feelings. But I'm also glad to hear that, you know, there are more people who feel the same way. And
yeah,
I
really wish, Coach, that we had had the opportunity to hear the other part of it, because it's missing. It's a one-sided conversation at this point, and anybody who rationally looks at it is going to have some difficulty seeing the other side of it.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, some people are just going to hide behind, and they're just going to sit back and just say, hey, you know what? Yeah, they're talking all this, blah, blah, blah. You know, screw them. You know what? Those are the people who believe. Well, I'm going to say this. Those are the people who are brainwashed.
Right. But, Coach, you're going to get those folks who are involved in football who are going to be the coaches and in some cases the owners, because they're the same people, or players who are also the owners, who are going to say, you know what, why can't we just shut up and play football?
Hey, let's play. Exactly.
Why do we have to have this conversation? Just do what we're doing. The answer to them, that I would say, is the reason we have to have this conversation is because we cannot stay where we are. The idea is to grow this sport, to grow this for these athletes. And we owe it to them. That's why we have to have this conversation. And we can't be willing just to sit back and say, well, damn it, just let's play football.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm glad you said that. And I hope that, again, I hope that there are people who are out there listening. You know, this is not only just my thoughts and feelings, you know, and as my disclaimer, my thoughts and feelings are not that of anything of the WFA or any other league that I'm affiliated with, so to speak. There, that's my disclaimer. However, I am Anthony Bartley, and I'm going to tell it like it is. If you don't like it, tough. Obviously, you haven't been around half this world long enough to know that people are going to express their feelings, and you got to be an adult enough to either accept it or ignore it. But again, if you want better, if you claim you want better, don't half-ass it. You got to go all the way with it.
Exactly.
And as my time, as I draw to my end, again, I want to thank Coach Jansen and Coach Eric from the Binghamton Tigers. I look forward to seeing you guys in the championship. Just don't be too upset with me when I beat you guys, but you know, it's all in love and football. And I also want to thank Remy for coming on from Sports Geek. And I definitely got to tune into you guys' show, because I hear you guys have some pretty good guests on there. So,
yes, sir.
I definitely will be calling in this Sunday. And for those who don't know, his show comes on every Sunday, and I believe it's 5 p.m., right?
Yes, sir. 5 p.m. Pacific.
That's 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you guys don't know your world clock, you better go inside the little organizer or on your cell phone. It should have a world clock there. But it's 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then we'll also like to thank BJ, Nancy, and Robin from Women's Football Talk, who comes on every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You know, again, without them, you know, game time would not be happening. So I commend them. And, again, thank you guys for coming on. And before I go, I got to give my shouts out. So I got to give my shout out to Gameware for being the WFA's national sponsor. Adidas for coming on and giving us some excellent discounts on apparel, shoes, and what have you. I also like to thank Combined Insurance and Katie Insurance for giving us our insurance and taking care of our insurance needs. And from there, again, thank you, gentlemen, for coming on. You guys are more than welcome to call in, express your thoughts and feelings anytime you want. You guys get carte blanche from me.
Good deal. Coach, good to talk to you.
Thank you. And, again, everybody, thank you for listening in. This is Game Time with Coach Bartley. I look forward to speaking with you guys next Tuesday, same bat time, same bat channel, 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. So everyone else, enjoy your evening. May God bless.